This is CliffCentral.com.
Jess Glynn, CS says that's the last album he bought.
This is probably
great. She's got such a voice.
3 years ago, yeah. I actually bought the physical CD.
Oh, I was going to say, was it not an online thing?
No, physical CD.
Man,
popped it into the car, listened to the entire track listing, and now it's collecting dust in my cubbyhole.
When last did you buy an album?
Ooh, like a CD?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very, very, very long time ago.
I don't even know what it feels like in my hands anymore.
I've got boxes of them. For some reason.
I've got a ton of CDs at home, but I threw them all out. Not all. I threw out the ones I didn't want to keep because some of them are sentimental.
Yeah,
but it's dumb. They take up space.
There was a lot of focus on album covers in those days and the inserts.
Yes.
And there's great artwork and stuff that you wouldn't find normally.
Yeah.
But when I was growing up, I loved nothing more than to rummage through my parents' old records.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I kept mine. Was almost like as an archive, a history archive for my kids.
But you're barren.
But so. I don't need them anymore.
Oh, no.
It's so sad. So I don't know what to do with them.
Mm. They really are taking up space. Shame. But now.
Hashtag Gareth likes this.
Likes that you're barren.
You just go, yes.
Yes, exactly.
So barren.
All
right.
What I've actually been forcing myself to do recently is to listen to an album, even though I'm streaming it, listen to the album from number one. Yeah.
Like you had to when you had a tape.
Yeah.
Those are the days of proper, like when album releases were a big deal. Yeah? And now people release singles. They don't really give a shit.
Because I still feel like we're missing out on just a bit of something. Yeah. And I actually did this recently and was really surprised by Avicii's new album.
A lot of artists would release an album with a story in it. So each of the songs would be tied together and there'd be there's a narrative that flows through it, and people don't get that if you only listen to one or two of the songs on the album.
Yeah, I listened to this Avicii's new album called Tim.
Yeah,
and usually I don't like when something is released when the artist is dead, but these are all people who, in my opinion, and now just doing more research, genuinely loved Avicii and they worked very closely with him.
Right.
So a lot of the music is stuff that Avicii had already produced by the time he committed suicide. So it was just onboarding different vocalists and just tweaking and mastering a couple of things.
Mm.
It really sounds good from beginning to end, his new album called Tim. But some of the songs are actually a bit haunting.
I was going to say, you know, there's a different aspect and reason for listening to these. You want to pick up what he was thinking in the times before his suicide.
Yeah, there's a song called Heaven. There's another one called SOS, and it's like, ugh.
I know.
Yeah. But, yeah, I still do think it's awesome music. So, yeah, I'd recommend you listen to that.
All right. Very good. A couple of stories in the news.
Yeah, the one that's getting me the most this morning.
Go on.
Is that proper research. It's not just research says. This has been done, and there are x-rays to prove it. Horns are growing on young people's skulls. And phone use is to blame. Mm-hmm. So if you put your hand sort of behind your ear and go down a bit.
I can't actually feel it.
And then follow that bone all the way to your spine.
You got horns.
That's where these horns are growing.
But they point down like the devil's horns.
They point to hell.
They point to hell.
Yeah. These are bone spurs caused by the forward tilt of the head, which shifts weight from the spine to the muscles at the back of the head, causing bone growth in the connecting tendons and ligaments. The weight transfer that causes the buildup can be compared to the way skin thickens into a callus as a response to pressure or abrasion. The result is a hook or horn-like features jutting out from the skull just above the neck.
Oh, my God. We're turning into the devil.
Yeah.
This is what they predicted.
And this is all due to shifting body posture brought about by the use of modern technology. So it's all about smartphones and handheld devices, which are contorting the human form.
monsters. We're turning into monsters.
We've heard of text neck, and doctors have also...
Now watch all the crazy religious fanatics say, this is the 666 that they predicted.
No. These are the horns.
Mark of the beast. Watch. This is it. They've been looking for this. Now we're growing horns. Oh, God help us.
Yeah. Bone deep changes.
This is the beginning of the end, folks.
So this was all found out by researchers in Australia.
Yes.
In Queensland. And yeah, you know, we've heard of text neck. We've heard of texting thumb.
Australia's down under.
Yes, it's the land of criminals.
The land of hell. That's right, Gareth. Spread my name.
What? Who said that?
Must have been someone with horns.
Oh, just Lucifer. Don't mind him.
That's right, Sia.
And it's also, if you experience chronic headaches.
Did you hear something there?
No, no, not me.
Well, I'm very well connected to it.
Join me in hell.
He's a friend of mine.
I'm growing horns in my neck.
Some of my other friends are already living with him because of what they've done here on Earth.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for that. I was having a good Friday until I discovered that I'm growing horns in my neck. It's beautiful.
And in similar news, phones can now be kept on at all times on Kulula flights.
I don't
know. So if your posture in your chair wasn't uncomfortable enough, you can now look at your phone the whole trip as well.
See, my problem is, I like the fact that on a plane is the only time you don't have to have constant binging.
It's so true.
Bing, bong, bing.
You've got a perfect excuse.
People talking loud on the phone. Can you imagine? I'm not going on Kulula then.
It's like the best words that you can utter are, I'm boarding now, speak to you later. Silence for 2 hours.
Now we're not going to have it. And you know, once one airline has started, everyone else is going to follow suit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, please, let's not have this.
Before, how is it not a problem now? I'm a nervous flyer, so
yeah.
Makes me wonder.
Well, exactly. You got to be careful. Listen, here's an interesting point someone's just brought up on WhatsApp. You can WhatsApp us on 0797482090. Just put it in your phone. Someone says, the bet between you and Reverend Kenneth Meshwe, what was it about again, and who's taking who out to lunch?
All right, we have to remind
him. He said the ANC would get under 50%.
Oh, yeah.
So I won. So he's got to take me out for lunch. I saw him at the Sona last night on TV. He was saying, oh, the president is in dreamland. That was his.
What was the percentage, the final percentage?
56, I think.
Okay, so it was quite a big win.
56, yeah, he's not even close. So he's taking me out for lunch. Oh, and nice. I'm going to have lobster thermidor.
Yes.
And I'm going to order an expensive bottle of champagne. And Reverend Kenneth Meshwe is going to pay up.
How do you politely remind him?
I'm going to send him a WhatsApp. Give me his number. Say, hey, Rev.
A friendly reminder.
Say, exactly. Yeah. Say what you mean. Hey, Rev, you lost that bet about the ANC's 50% majority. You owe me lunch, Gareth. That's all. Doesn't need to be more complicated than that. And then I'm going to dine out.
Mm-hmm.
What's the most expensive restaurant in Joburg? Look it up.
I went 2 nights ago to DW 1113. And
sounds expensive.
For 4 of us, it was 4,000 Rand.
Mm. It's probably Marble or Saint or one of those. You know, look it up, Sia. Let's find out.
DW 20.
Is
that 11 to 13.
Isn't that the spray that you use on rusty bolts and nuts to undo them?
No, it's not.
DW.
Hmm.
So it's for Dunkeld West, the shopping center. Oh. Shops 11 to 13.
Well, this is from a couple of years ago.
All right, let's go.
The most expensive restaurant in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Dale Roberts' Saxon restaurant.
All right.
Yeah, we aren't really surprised there.
Is that at the Saxon?
At the Saxon.
Mm. Okay. They do tasting menus and pairings and things like that.
It's a 40-seater.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to take some friends. Reverend Kenneth Meshwe, get ready.
If I remember correctly, they bring you a little box
Oh, you've stand been there before.
To put your handbag onto.
Ooh.
So that it doesn't have to sit on the floor.
You see, the Saxon and already they pick you up from the parking lot.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
And no, you can take the whole experience where they pick you up from home. And you start with the first course and champagne in the limo.
That sounds good.
Number one, you
except
know.
I don't want to have a romantic date with Reverend Kenneth Meshwa. I just want to have a nice dinner.
Yeah, it's not very friend and business like.
You know it's steep when there's no like eat out or any sort of review on some of these foodie websites about your restaurant. But then they say.
Most people go, they don't talk about it.
No. You just don't at all.
Yeah, whereas if you look at the likes of Marble, etc., it's now become a place to be seen. And you get everyone taking photographs of themselves there.
I saw David Beckham was served the other day.
Yes.
Yeah, he was in the country for a short while when he went to Marble Restaurant.
Mm, I really wish he wouldn't talk.
But I'm so sexy.
They say,
you know, when I get into bed with Posh in the night time, I sometimes rub my leg against hers and she says, "Who is it?" I go, "It's David." And she goes, "Oh, if only you'd shut up, I would have definitely banged you."
He reminds me of someone who would want Bitty. Remember that from Little Britain. Mummy, Bitty.
And then she whips out her breast and he's 40 years old and she suckles. All right. Apparently there's a serial killer alert.
Where? Oh, dun, dun, dun.
In Pretoria.
Oh, my word.
No, seriously, there's a big deal. Everybody get ready.
This.
You have heard about it.
Yes.
The killer, yeah.
I'm not laughing.
No, this is a big deal. So apparently there is a serial killer in Muckleneuk in Pretoria is killing homeless people.
Five people
found dead.
Yeah.
What is he doing? What's his motive?
And see, so I sometimes volunteer with this organization here in Johannesburg, and we work on a go out and feed homeless people. And talking to the people who run this organization, they're like, well, they were liaising with people in Pretoria and the police to try to understand what is happening. And they were talking to the police about what could the intention be. And the police just blatantly said, look, it clearly has signs of a serial killer. And a serial killer doesn't need a grand old motivation. They just see easy people to target and they're going out killing homeless people.
There's a YouTube channel called Dark Matters.
Oh.
Yeah. And again, it's a bit David Beckham-esque, where it's a letdown in terms of the guy who's presenting the stories to you.
Yeah.
But the actual clips are so creepy. Okay, there's stuff that I don't even watch, stuff about UFOs and figurines that pass the screen. But the most interesting part are the interviews with killers, especially when they confess. And just blatant and describing how they used the hammer and how cutting the head off was really tough when it got to the spine. And
so it's grisly.
Yeah, Dark Matters. Ooh.
See, and there's always you can tell something by the way a killer goes out and kills people, and this one in Pretoria is being very violent with his killings. So a lot of these homeless people have been found with deep gashes in the face.
Oh my God.
Deep wounds to the chest.
Oh.
So it's someone who didn't just want to pop you off and die,
yeah,
but wanted to really inflict pain on you. And several times. So it's stabbing you in the chest.
Oh my
several
God.
Times. Poor homeless people. Well, I suppose they're a bit of an easier target than people who live in houses and behind walls.
Yeah, I mean, your box doesn't give you much protection.
Yeah, and you don't have security cameras.
Your cardboard box.
Okay.
He's busy sleeping, snoring, snoozing your head off, trying to keep warm in your box. And then suddenly they cut through your box and they kill you.
They actually use box cutters.
Right, even more insulting.
Oh, dear.
We need Horatio Caine.
Oh, yes. So? Somebody's been unboxed.
What would Horatio say?
Yeah, that's what he would say.
Sorry, it's very insensitive.
I love CSI just for that.
Anyway, Kens, thanks for letting us know about that. Kensani's let us know about
I must remember killer. Not to sleep on the pavement tonight.
Yeah, especially in Pretoria. You can still do it in Joburg if you want. Okay, well, another comment here.
Okay.
Yes.
Here's one from, let me see who this is. Sometimes I have to click on the Marcel. Marcel says...
And are you judging all of these people by their profile pictures?
I love this. This is what I like about WhatsApp. when you get a WhatsApp from a strange number, what do you do first?
You look at the profile picture.
Correct. So there's a picture of Marcel, and he's with his girlfriend in the picture. Morning, Gareth. I tried to listen to you on Jacaranda yesterday, but my full 15-minute drive home, I only listened to ads. It's extremely annoying and made me appreciate your podcasts even more. Thanks, Marcel. Yeah, that's kind of what, you know, a lot of people missed it, and then they said to me, can we hear the podcast? And I was like, sorry. It's not how it works in radio. That's why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
You can listen anytime you like. It suits you, you know. Whew, what else is in the news?
Another sort of millennial feat of nature is that a teenager has had his mouth wired shut.
Excuse me?
After his vape exploded, fracturing his jaw and knocked out his teeth.
Oh, my God.
What? Yeah.
I don't trust these vapes. I'm telling you, these things, they're dangerous.
Exploding e-cigarettes.
Oh, my God. It just blew up in his mouth?
Yeah, exactly that.
Oh.
17 years old. He showed up at the emergency room with pain and swelling in the jaw. 2 hours previously, a vape had exploded in his mouth as he was using it. So he had a circular puncture to his chin bone and large gashes in his mouth, and then had a 3D scan and the true damage was revealed. Imagine the noise.
You don't have to. That's actual footage.
Imagine something just blowing up in your mouth.
Ooh, so he had to have a plate surgically inserted into his lower jaw.
God.
The jaw wired shut. He had to have a device inserted into his mouth. Yeah. He's still missing teeth a year later.
Oh, boy.
But he's hoping to get implants this summer.
Can he whistle?
Yeah, without even trying. He did quit smoking after that.
Oh, well, that's good news.
Yeah, so I don't know how common it could be.
Sure.
And the other things that are blowing up are apparently 15-inch, the older 15-inch MacBook Pros.
Oh, really?
Batteries are catching fire. Mm-hmm. So if you've got a 15-inch MacBook Pro with Retina display, they are being recalled. Official recall from Apple has been issued for specifically the 2015 MacBook Pro. The batteries may pose a fire safety risk.
I don't think this is this is not. I use an old typewriter. I think I'm okay.
Oh, you more than safe there.
Yeah, the worst that's happened to me with my typewriter is my hair got caught in when I shoved it to the left to start a new line.
Enter. There we go. Like that. Let me get to the end of the sentence. I'll show you. Hold on a second. Yeah, coming up now. Okay, and see us now. There we go. All right, good. There we go. Now you understand.
What the Ford Cougar's going on there?
You don't know about typewriters? You've never seen a typewriter?
My dad owned one.
Okay.
He didn't use it ever since I was born, but it sat in the study for a little while.
Did you ever try and do anything with it, like type a letter?
Well, it always was fascinating to me because it was covered in this large draping.
It was in the corner of his study for dust.
Yes. So you didn't get dust between the keys.
I was like, what is this thing?
The last typewriter I used was very modern. Mm-hmm. It was at the top of its game.
Typewriter and modern in one sense.
No, I promise
just
you.
Doesn't really go
it
together.
Had a little display, almost like an old Nokia or something like that.
Yeah.
Tiny display that would display maybe 1.5 words at a time. And you could put it onto like the preview function.
Oh.
And so you would type in the box and you'd see whether you'd got it right or not. And then it would scoot it off and go brrr and type it for you. That was very, very fancy in the day.
How incredible. Do you still have that?
No, but I do miss old typewriters. Remember you had to use those Tippex pieces of paper?
Yes.
And then backspace and retype the letters. to knock out the Tippex from the paper.
Wow. No, Leanne, I don't know what you're talking about, so don't lick the side of the room. I've never.
Yeah.
All right, well, while we're talking about nature and this guy's jaw and all of this stuff, we've been talking about animals that eat animals this week because there was that hideous picture that Leanne sent us, which became a bit of an internet sensation this week.
Mm.
It was on Monday.
Of the python eating a crocodile.
Tuesday, yeah. There's a python swallowing a whole crocodile. All that's left hanging out of its mouth is the tail. And a lot of people didn't believe it until we put the picture up on Instagram and on Twitter, and it's gone everywhere, like thousands of retweets. And
wow.
Yeah, everybody's fascinated by this thing. I found subsequently, because people sent these to me, they said, oh, that's nothing.
Oh, really?
Well, listen, you know I've got a major problem with lizards, big lizards.
Yeah, like monitor lizards.
Yeah, I'm terrified of those big Komodo dragons and lizards and things. Someone sent me a video of a Komodo dragon eating a vervet monkey.
Oh, no.
Swallowing this thing whole.
I don't know. I think still a python eating a crocodile trumps that.
Yeah, I think it's probably more horrific. But the other one someone sent me is a crocodile eating the head of a zebra.
Oh, yes.
You've seen that picture? It's a famous South African photographer.
Yeah, because I looked up this python crocodile thing,
yeah.
I now get, you know, it's following me around as I browse.
Right.
And I now have seen the zebra one.
Yeah. So this is apparently the guy who took that picture of the zebra head, his photo is actually featured in Jimmy Fallon's show on the Tonight Show. And he's traveling in Brazil at the moment. He's a South African dude. And his wife contacted me and said, you want to talk to him? And I said, sure. So we're going to speak to the guy who took the picture of the crocodile with the zebra head in its huge jaws. So if you like that kind of stuff, we've definitely started a meme here.
Yes.
All right. So we'll speak to him as soon as we can. Can I play you a clip from British TV, which I just love?
Yes.
So you know they're doing their elections and the Conservative Party are trying to find a new leader. So the woman, I don't know if this is on BBC News. Yeah, BBC News. Here she is, the presenter. And instead of saying Jeremy Hunt.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, take a listen.
Steve Ryan, you say that the man that you're backing, Jeremy Hunt. I'm so sorry, Jeremy Hunt. I've never said that before in my life. It's usually men who say that, so I really, really want to apologize. I'm sorry.
Wow, honey, and you have a full go at men at the same time.
Yeah, you must. Once you've made the mistake, don't say more stuff.
Just shut up. I mean, how dare you? Now she's accusing men of using that word the whole time. You cunt.
Steve Ryan, you say that the man that you're backing, Jeremy Cunt. I'm so sorry, Jeremy Hunt. I've never.
Oh, I love that. I've never said that before in my life. You liar. You have.
Oh, no.
Come on. Who are you talking about? Oh, wow.
I
just love that. And did you hear about that kid in the class? Sia, you'll love this. Listen to this child. He's in a class. The teacher gets up. Here's what happens. Listen to this.
Good afternoon, parents. Good afternoon, boys and girls.
Shut the fuck up.
Hey. You're not nice.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
You need to leave?
No, bitch.
Okay.
Yeah, he's out.
He's a little... He's a tiny little kid.
The teacher picks him up by his arm. That's how small he is.
he's like 4 or 5 years old, and he talks to her like that.
That kid is going
crazy. So you know what goes on in his house, right?
Oh, sure.
Boys and girls,
shut the fuck up.
Oh, wow. Isn't that fantastic?
I'm telling you, that kid is going places.
It's fantastic as long as it's not your kid. If it's your kid, it's not so funny. Right?
Yeah.
You don't want that to happen.
No.
So there's a couple of funny things going on. What is in the news, Leanne? Serious news.
The serious news is that Cyril Ramaphosa wants a new city for South Africa.
I heard about this.
Not everyone agrees with him, obviously. No. Where would it go?
I hope somewhere shit.
Well, that's the first one. Somewhere, anywhere in the Northern Cape.
Somewhere shit, right, exactly, because they didn't have a single city.
Perhaps a new city between Cape Town and Port Elizabeth.
Who wants that?
Halfway between. Oh, yeah.
I think it's a beautiful drive.
Yeah, that they'll ruin it with a big city.
Maybe.
But this is all such a big pipe dream. I mean, let's all come back down to earth and be realistic for a second.
Mm.
The ANC can't even get Eskom to work.
We,
They can't even...
Alexandra. Hello.
Alex is a township right here, and it's a disaster area. I mean, Jane comes in every morning. She's exasperated just from trying to get here. And Alex is a couple of Ks away. Now, if Cyril and his useless government, all those fat, stupid people we saw in Parliament yesterday, if any of them can build a city, I will eat my shoe. And today I'm wearing a Nike sneaker.
It's a big shoe.
So there we are. That's the bet.
The other option, Jane, could be...
Jane Malachi, please come here. Tell me what you think. I don't want to be the only one who has an opinion on this. Jane Malachi comes in from Alex. She has had the most rough week trying to get into work because Alex is in total shutdown. Now Cyril says he's going to build a whole new city.
You know, I was like, you know, I think Malema is right. That guy's crazy. I don't want to lie to you. He's my president, but Mr. Ramaphosa, you are crazy.
I mean, he can't get Alex working. How's he going to build a whole new city?
How?
He wants robots and artificial intelligence and state-of-the-art transport and...
Please. I think he just imagined things that he can do stuff while he know that he can't do anything.
Fantasy. Right? He's lying in bed dreaming.
He's dreaming while he's working.
Yeah, exactly. No time for that. All right. Thanks, Jane.
And then just one
reality check, by the way, this morning brought to you by Jane Malachi. Yeah.
One last thing to make you slightly paranoid.
Uh-oh.
It seems that Google has found just one other way to track your personal data.
Yes.
Someone on Reddit actually discovered this and shared it online, that Google has been following their purchases using their Gmail account. So uh-oh, any purchase that this person made...
Are you surprised
that
these people are just watching everything we do?
Not at all. Mm.
The paparazzi.
This Reddit user just pieced the pieces of the puzzle together when they noticed that any purchase they made using their Gmail account was logged by Google. The user uncovered that Google is keeping tabs on any purchase that uses your Gmail account, and Google also tracks purchases made via Google Pay or via the Google Play Store as well. So for its part, Google says the purchase information lives in your Google account.
Well, hello there!
And is only accessible by you. All right,
sure
thing. A Google spokesperson says, to help you easily view and keep track of your purchases, your bookings and subscriptions in one place, we've created a private destination that can only be seen by you, and you can delete this information at any time.
It doesn't even scare me. I mean, everyone in Google knows everything about me already.
Yeah.
Or Facebook or anything.
They know more about you than you know about yourself.
Exactly.
Hi, everybody.
People know where I'm driving.
That's Google. You didn't know that?
Is that the voice of
that's
Google?
That's Google. Didn't that happen to you? It happened to me yesterday. I was Google searching something and they went,
hi, everybody.
I was on the loo and I heard that from behind the toilet paper door.
I'd be worried if I heard anyone while I was in the loo, Leah.
Isn't that the first voice you hear in the morning? You wake up and you think you're all on your own. You pick up your cell phone and it goes,
hi, everybody.
You don't know that.
I'd recommend some medication for that.
Oh, yeah. No, that's happening. It's not in my head. It's in all of us. Google knows everything. Get over yourself.
Google. Every time.
All right. Loads of things to get to, including George Meany.
Who's not a meanie at all.
No, he's a
nice
guy.
He's a nicey. Mm.
See, I don't pretend you've never had something exploding in your mouth.
You guys.
That's straight off the WhatsApp line. It's beautiful.
Now that's just a Friday tone. I'm a lady.
I hope your mother isn't listening this morning, Sia.
No, my cousin was listening yesterday. I got in trouble.
I'm sure.
He said to me, how dare you talk about our grand's funeral as a party? I'm like,
oopsie daisy.
All right, this morning, I know it seems a little bit serious compared to all the nonsense we've been talking about, but we've got to talk about organ donation, because we joke often about how people are going to come and harvest our organs while we sleep.
Mm.
I know that these two women are plotting that, but we'll talk to them in a second. You can find out for yourself. I'm very nervous about them. I don't get nervous about guests. These two make me nervous.
Stop looking at my kidneys.
No, the scary thing is, let's be serious for a second. 0.2% of South Africans are registered as organ donors.
Jeepers.
That's not enough. I mean,
I'm proud to say I'm one of them.
You are. I know. I'm very proud of you. Even then, there's no guarantee they'll be able to make the difference that they intend to. Because while becoming an organ donor is the start of an extraordinary commitment, it only happens when you have the necessary conversations with your friends and family to make those wishes known. And I thought we'd get these conversations going this morning. TELL is the Transplant Education for Living Legacies. TELL, T-E-L-L. They've launched a new campaign to create awareness for organ donors, and they're here to tell us more about it. So I've got Alice Vocht and Fawn Rogers. Look at you two. Here to harvest my organs.
Mm.
Hello. Hello, Alice. Hello, Fawn.
Good morning.
You seem such sweet, lovely people. I didn't know you were vampires.
We're not. We just take all the organs for ourselves.
Yes. No. You do great work. I've debated this up and down myself. I'm very proud of Leanne for being an organ donor. I know some other people who are. And really, what do you care when you're dead? What happens to your organs? You could save another life. You could be useful in death. Some people aren't even useful in life. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice to do something.
Well, it's my one and only chance to be useful.
There we are, Leanne. I mean, look at you. Of course, we can't use those parts of you that are barren or
alcohol-ridden.
So what is the problem? Why are so few people registered as organ donors? And why can't we do something about improving those numbers?
Well, I think as a country, we've got so many other problems. I do think organ donation is not something that's on people's radar.
But this is a zero-cost thing. It's not like you have to put money aside.
But I think it's just people don't think about it. Because, yeah. I mean, to be honest, when I was in my teens, before I knew I needed an organ, you know, it's something you know about.
Which organ did you need?
Oh, so I've actually had 2 double lung transplants.
My
so
God.
Hence saying I'm taking all the lungs.
Sure.
But I was actually on your show 10 years ago
when
you were still on 5FM.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Have I improved? Because you look way better than you did then.
Well, you're not an organ donor yet, so clearly I didn't have a very good impact. But so, yes, you know, when I was a teenager, I knew about it and I thought, oh, that's a good thing, yes. But then that's where it stopped, you know. And also in the back of my mind back then, I thought, you know, old people need organs. Like, yeah. I didn't think it was something, I just didn't think of it. And also there wasn't Facebook back then or social media.
You had both lungs transplanted?
Twice.
Twice.
So I'm on lung 5 and 6.
You're like Manto Shabalalam Simang. She went through like 3 livers. Do you remember her?
Except I never smoked, so it's not by any of my own.
What was wrong with your original lungs?
I've got the same disease as Fawn, cystic fibrosis.
It's not catchy, right?
No.
Oh, thank
no,
God.
No.
No, cystic fibrosis is horrible.
No, it's a horrible genetic disease. And started doing lung transplants for it in the 80s, which is like after I was even born. You know, when I was born, there was literally no hope at all. The doctors told my parents there's a 20% chance that I'd reach the age of 20.
And look at you now.
Now I'm 35 almost.
Well,
so
no.
it's quite great. Crazy. But yes, so.
And you've decided, obviously, because of what these transplants did for you and how they've given you a life that you might not have had, that it's time for other people to wake up and pay attention.
No, for sure. And I think that's the case with Fawn and myself. You know, we it sounds cliche,
let her talk. I mean, give her a chance.
Okay, Fawn, you talk a bit.
Let her use her lungs.
Alice is just really excited. Her lungs are much newer than mine.
The second one,
yeah.
So tell us your story, Fawn.
So I also have cystic fibrosis, so there's not much diversity in our organization.
That's okay.
I also had a double lung transplant 6 years ago, and that also prompted me to sort of want to give back because I was, well, same as Alice, but very sick. I spent most of my life in hospital, and I lost a lot of friends in hospital. So, you know, and they were all waiting on the list. And, you know, to me, it was, like you said earlier, it's a no-brainer. Why aren't people donating, and all these young people are dying simply because people aren't saying yes to things that they don't even need. So we are quite passionate about it, and we have all these sort of campaigns going to try and improve.
Well, we'll talk about the campaigns in a second, but do either of you know who your donors were? Do they tell you?
So they don't tell you. It is anonymous. After a certain amount of years, if both sides, if the donor and the recipient both feel strongly about meeting, then the transplant coordinator...
You mean the donor's family?
You can't meet the donor.
Borrow a lung for a shift.
Yeah. No, the donor's family, yes.
Oh.
It can be facilitated, but it is you know, it's not like the movies where you meet the family and there's this big hug and they listen to your heart and it's all very pretty. And, you know, there's a lot of emotions, a lot of...
Sure.
It could be financial issues that come across by meeting your donor family. So they discourage it. However, South Africa is so small that when you see a horrific car accident has happened and the next thing the doctor walks in and says, we've got lungs, you kind of put two and two together. So a lot of people by default have found out who their families are. I haven't. Alice?
I did, yes. For my first transplant.
But those weren't very good, so we don't really want to give
them... No, they were good. They were good. They lasted 10 years.
You ran them through in 10 years?
Yes.
Good innings.
I lived that hard. No, I'm kidding.
She burned through a pair of lungs.
But 10 years is a good period.
It's like a pair of tires in a car.
Yeah.
For lung transplant statistics, 10 years is a good time.
Sure.
So they were great lungs. So with that donor family, what happened was a TV documentary. So I just, you know, I knew the boy who got my donor's heart. You know, I got the lungs, he got the heart. So we were, you know, acquaintances / friends / he's kind of my half brother now.
Well,
I don't know what
you
would call it.
You share a little bit of genetic material.
Yes. So
but the
we
lungs,
knew each other.
They have to be compatible, right?
Yes. No, of course. Size wise.
You can't just have any pair of lungs.
And it's not just blood group. It's the size. It's your height. They have to fit your chest cavity, you know.
Did you get lungs from a guy or a girl?
A woman both times.
Okay. Older, younger?
Older. They were, actually, I think both of them were kind of the same age, in their early 40s.
Yeah.
The first donor, I definitely know that. The second one, I'm speculating.
So you could be much older than your actual years.
Yes. I think on average, I'm probably about at least 10 or 5 or 10 years older.
So that's cool. When people ask you how old you are, you could say, I'm not just 30-something. I'm actually like... maybe closer to 40.
Like which part of me?
Am I averaging?
Which part of me are you asking?
What I want to know is, I sat down with an attorney with my brother and we drew up our wills. And I chose to be an organ donor and he made a note and that was that.
So
how are people going to know besides my family?
So the thing with a will is normally it's read after you've passed away. So it's actually a bit too late for organ donation by then. But the important part is that your family know. Because our whole drive and the whole thing around our organization is that even if you've registered as a donor, you know, if you've got the sticker in your ID book and all those normal things.
Well, I don't actually have that.
Well, my point is it doesn't matter because even if you did, you know, doctors still consult your family. That's ethically the last thing they do. And even though legally they might be able to take organs if it's in your will, et cetera, et cetera. In practice, at this moment, they won't touch you if your family don't agree.
Shouldn't the default thing be? I would imagine the most sensible position is that everybody is a donor. The default is everyone is a donor unless the family say we prefer to keep the person.
Absolutely.
Like Dori, who's in the office here, she's an organ donor too. And she was telling me that she's looked into this because she's gone to the trouble of making sure she's registered and all that stuff so people will know. And she said, look, she doesn't care what happens once she's dead. They can take the useful parts and hopefully someone can find value in them and it can, you know, prolong their lives. And that whatever's left, she said, you could just burn it up or whatever. She's not precious about it at all.
Is there a difference between that and a body being donated to science, they call it, or being used as a cadaver in education?
Yeah, so Fawn can answer the you know, about automatically being a donor.
Yeah.
But about the donating your body to science, there is actually a big difference. So you can't do both. You can't donate your organs and tissue and donate your body to science because... And by science, I mean you are a cadaver for medical students to practice on because they need a full body when they're practicing.
That's what Leanne really wants.
You don't want a doctor who trained on a body that doesn't have lungs.
Yes, exactly. So normally those
are... Well, they could take the shit lungs that they took from you and give you the good ones, put the shit lungs in the cadaver and let people study that.
Huh? That is also an option, but I know the shit lungs they send to the lab to dissect after
and burn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Didn't you ask for those in a bottle?
I wish I could, yeah, but unfortunately, they check it to see if there's any hidden problems that you didn't even know about. Like, they check it for cancer. Right. They check it for funny bugs that might have been hiding there that they still need to treat you for, because your body is still alive in ICU, but you might have this bug that was hiding in your lungs.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I never thought of that.
It's, yes. Yeah. It's, look, it's a very technical thing. But, yes, you can't donate your body to science and donate your organs. So you kind of have to pick. But normally when people aren't eligible or don't have usable organs for donation, they can donate it for students to use.
Okay.
The social media handles for TELL are at TELLORGZA. That's TELLORGZA. I suppose you get organ in there as well, right? As well as organization.
That's what we plan.
TELLORGZA on Instagram. On Facebook, you can go to TELLORGZA. And on Twitter, it's TELLORGZA. Congratulations on getting all three the same, so people don't have to look up three different ones.
Not an easy feat.
So Alice was born with cystic fibrosis. She had a double lung transplant, as she told us, in 2008, and then at 2003 again, right?
No, 2017.
2017 again. Yeah. And you were the first person in South Africa to survive two bilateral lung transplants. You've participated in three world transplant games.
Yes.
Ta-da! You didn't even tell us about that.
So that's why I was originally on your show back at 5FM, was when I was taking part in my first World Transplant Games in Australia. And then after that, I still took part in the 2011 Games and the 2013 Games as well. And then, unfortunately, my body decided to start rejecting the lungs.
What did you do in the transplant games?
I did squash and race walking.
Damn right.
So those two.
Look at you.
And then my body was an asshole and literally decided,
There's nothing wrong with your asshole. Your problem is your lungs. But now you've got a fresh pair. How are these working out?
They are amazing so far.
They fit well. You feel comfortable.
They fit well. I'm
fit. A bit of a stretch.
Everything's good.
Good.
Touch wood. No problems yet.
That's very, very good. I'm happy to hear this.
Yes,
this is good news.
Going to compete in this year's World Transplant Games, but then I tore my Achilles tendon twice in the space of 6 weeks.
You like doing things in twos, don't you?
Yes, definitely.
So did you need transplants of those?
In the end, they put in an artificial tendon, so I've got a fake tendon as well.
Oh, my God.
You're
like Michael Jackson. There's hardly any of you that's really you anymore.
I know.
All right, and Fawn was born with cystic fibrosis. A chronic illness destroyed her lungs and made it necessary for her to have a double lung transplant back in 2013. But tell me about the campaign, ladies. By the way, after she recovered, she got into a career in digital marketing and opened her own digital agency.
Mm.
And is your agency behind the campaign?
No. So my agency is sort of independent, but we do have our agency is called Murma, and they've helped us with all our branding, and they're amazing. So
awesome.
They also came up with the idea for the tattoo campaign, and they've been a huge driving force. So the campaign.
Tell me about it.
So we. As we said, our organization is about conversation and getting people to tell their family and friends that they are an organ donor, because at the end of the day, whether you registered or not, your family is approached and they are the ones that kind of give the doctors the go-ahead. So if you're an organ donor and your family don't know, at the time of death, emotions are running high, and the last thing the family want to do is now make this really big decision. So often they just say no because they don't know what your wishes were. Whereas if you had told them, then it would have been a very easy decision for the family to make.
Yeah.
So that's sort of our messages. Talk to your family.
It's such a simple message, and you're not here asking for donations or for money. You're just asking people that once they're dead and there's no use for these organs, that they can be used for someone who could.
Yeah.
And TELL, I mean, that's our name. Like our only selling point or thing that we're trying to promote is tell your family. That's like the simplest thing in the world.
How did you two meet? Is there a transplant party every Thursday we don't know about?
So I was actually waiting for lungs, and Alice had successfully gotten hers, and she was kind of the cheerleader for lung transplants because it was so successful. So she kind of came in to meet me and, let me know that it was all going to be okay and all of that. And
that's nice of you, Alice.
Yeah, she's quite a nice.
You're a good person.
So yeah, we met like that, and as that's sort of how most people meet, because it's there's only one hospital in Joburg that does lung transplants. So we
where
all
is that?
It's Milpark.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there is actually sort of a little ward.
And who does it? Like a cardiothoracic surgeon?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, we've got a rock star surgeon. We call him. And he's quite good looking as well.
Who's he? What's his name? What's his name?
Dr. Sussman.
Good for Dr. Sussman. So, I just spelled Sussman.
Oh,
no, I mean, he's Sia's literally saved our lives.
Sia's going to Facebook stalk him. Now, you shouldn't have mentioned that.
I think he can feel my chest up or something.
That was like my mom's neurosurgeon.
Woo!
Very happy to see him every day.
I'm not even joking. I found him.
Uh-oh. Please, Sia, leave the guy alone. All right. So
I can work with this.
Sia, please, will you stop it? This is not tapping the talent. This is about tell. All right. Okay. So what can we do to get the word out? And how do people actually register? How do they besides telling their family make it obvious to everybody that this is what they want? Because sometimes the family get douchey and they say,
"You can go against your will.
I don't want my son or daughter or uncle or aunt chopped up for someone else."
So ultimately, we can never fully prevent that. But with our tattoo campaign, we've so far had over 500 people get the tail tattoo.
So what is that? Where does it go?
I'll show you what it looks like. My watch is hiding it, but it looks like that. So it's quotation marks.
Right. Mm.
So almost like the semicolon tattoo project that I'm sure you guys know about for, depression, suicide. Uh-huh. So we've got the quotation mark thing where it just means you've told your family, you've had the conversation, you want to donate your organs. So if you've got the tattoo showing that you've had the conversation about organ donation, medically, it's not recognized, obviously.
But
I mean, no one's going to cut out your organs.
Do paramedics know about it?
They don't, and it doesn't matter if they do or don't. It's about the fact that your family definitely then can't say, "Oh, we weren't sure if they wanted to or not." It's more to make it 100% known to your family members that this is what you wanted, and you felt so strongly about wanting to donate your organs, you actually had a tattoo done for it. And a lot of people customize their tattoos. They actually add the words organ donor to it. A few people have, maybe organ donation means something more to them. They've maybe lost a family member or something. And they get like all sorts of like butterflies or infinity signs or dandelions, incorporated with their tail tattoo. But the point is, it's just a tattoo about organ donation and saying that you've told your family.
I like that. So you can get the quotation marks on your left wrist.
Or anywhere. You can get it anywhere.
I remember on one of these medical programs that I watch, the guy had a huge tattoo on his chest saying, "Do not resuscitate."
Huh.
That's also a good idea if that's what you want.
Yeah. But he just got it as a joking thing. And the doctors didn't know what to do.
Well, I don't think... let's get to some messages. I don't think we must get our hopes up about Leanne being an organ donor. I really don't think we're going to get a lot of
I've
good
stuff.
I've
kind of got the tattoo.
Yeah, but what I'm saying
is... You can just add to that, Leanne.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of your organs are going to be helpful.
You'd be surprised.
She's not in a good way.
I'm going with my eyeballs. Those should be good.
But also, what people don't realize is they often say, "Oh, but I'm a drinker or a smoker, my organs won't be good." But what they don't realize is their organs are still 100 times better than when Fawn and I were in our 20s.
I hear you, but you don't know what you're talking about. We've got a major problem here with Leanne.
No, the good thing is they're all pickled, so they've been preserved.
Okay, and then also you can donate tissue. So, hey, there's skin, and there's bone, there's corneas. So
now we're talking.
Yes.
That's much better. Riette sent me a very proud picture of her organ donor card, which she carries around with her, and it's in her ID book. She says she's proudly donating. That's Riette in Cape Town. "I'm so proud of you ladies," says somebody over here. "You are doing an awesome job. I love you, Fawny," and that is from, let me see here. Oh, she's attractive. Doesn't have a name. That's a pity. I've been distracted. Sorry.
Of course, Fawn can I'll help you later.
Okay. Yeah. And then someone else says here, Leanne, was your mom's neurosurgeon Dr. Zorio?
Oh, Dr. Zorio. He was one of them. But I'm talking about Dr. Chris Profiris.
Oh.
Chris Profiris.
Thank you. Okay.
But Dr. Zorio is an amazing human being. He is almost stuck in the 70s in the way he looks. He's super cool, and he's got these like you dress as well.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, look at listen, you. I spent 2 years with these guys every day, so I was bound to fall in love at some point.
Sure. Look at this. All right. Well, listen, all sincerity, I think you guys are doing a terrific job. I think this is really, really good. I'm even thinking, because I don't really have any attachment to what happens to me after I'm dead, I should just get this done, have the conversation with my family.
And the tattoo.
I think I'm going to go home and do it. I'll get. Well, I'm not a big tattoo guy.
No, it doesn't matter.
Well, then
that's
just
why
get a small tattoo.
That's why the campaign is called Make It Known.
Okay.
Because we actually don't mind how you make it known. A tattoo was just an idea because it's quite permanent. But we have encouraged people to try and be creative and they can make it known in whichever way.
Fine. You've convinced me. I think it's a good idea. I'll have this conversation with my family. I don't want you harvesting before I'm dead. Do you understand?
Deal.
This podcast is recorded, right?
If you come and try to take my organs while I'm still alive, because I know you now.
I still potentially need a second set, so watch out for me.
Yeah.
Gareth's good to go.
Yeah, all right.
But Gareth's a bit
bigger. I'll get my measuring tape out now. Yeah, it might not work.
You're a bit bigger than Fawn, so she can't steal your lungs. It won't fit.
I dress like I'm bigger, but I'm actually weedy underneath.
Okay.
We'll talk later.
Cool. Very good. All right, ladies, congratulations. It's really good to see you, and well done on everything that you're doing. You can go and find them on social media. Give them a big shout-out. Tell everybody else about them, and get your family on board so that when you decide to become an organ donor, they know about it. It's a good campaign, right, George?
I think it's a brilliant campaign.
Are you an organ donor, George?
No, I haven't even thought about it, to be honest. I only think about it when stuff like this comes up. And I'm pretty sure 80 or 90% of people do that.
Aren't you glad you were here this morning to hear this?
I am.
Oh, there we go.
I'm just worried about the people that change their mind. How do you get rid of the tattoo?
You cover it up with a new one. It's easy.
George, you could donate your hair. You've got good hair.
I've got
too much hair.
No, it's good. So, Alice and Fawn, thank you. George, what do you have for us this morning?
Well, in the world of cars, somebody has taken a Tesla Model 3, you know, the new Tesla Model 3?
Yes.
And it's a lady. She took an angle grinder to it and turned it into a Bucky.
Oh, really? That's very nice.
I mean, what the fish?
That's very nice. Well, she's made it like a South African Bucky.
Yeah. No. Well, I mean, she's American, but okay. She's taken and she filmed the entire thing on YouTube. So if you go and search for Rivian and a few other YouTubers, you'll see they filmed the entire process of turning this Tesla Model 3 into a Bucky, and it doesn't look too bad, to be honest. It's done quite well.
Maybe Tesla will start making them.
Because she was complaining that everyone's promising electric Buckies.
Yeah, no one's making
them. No one's really making them.
Good for her.
So, you know, good for her. The world's first EV Bucky Tesla Model 3. I wonder what Elon Musk thinks about this.
Mm. Well, he's got a bit of South African in him. Some part of him is going, yes, it's maras lekker.
Oh, my fuck.
Marlies.
I wonder if he can still speak Afrikaans.
No, probably not. Charlize does.
Does she?
Oh, she speaks a bit of Afrikaans. Mm. She said she and her mom, I heard an interview with her the other day, she said her and her mom were in a lift together, and they were talking about somebody, saying, hierdie ou is vir my lelik of mooi or whatever. And he went, we'll buy a donkey. She was so embarrassed.
Yeah, people don't know how many South Africans are out there.
They just don't know.
All right, so
we've got a Bucky Tesla. What else?
Bucky Tesla, and then remember the Hummer?
Yes.
Why the Hummer lost popularity was because it was so heavy on fuel and so dirty.
Gas guzzler.
Yes.
And associated with gangsters.
Yeah, true too. I mean, I kind of liked the Hummer because of the army connotation. But General Motors is thinking of bringing back the Hummer in electric form.
Oh.
Don't know whether that's an oxymoron or not. But
no, it could be cool.
Could be cool. So General Motors is focusing on electric vehicles because they've lost ground in the last couple of years, and I think their strategy is now to try and catch up. So the Hummer is part of their SUV plan to bring electric vehicles to their fleet. And then there's been a fully restored James Bond 1965 Aston Martin DB5.
I saw it on the news the other day. This is not news. I'm sorry, George. You usually bring me all the news about cars, but this one you beat me to. And I love this car. It's still got all the gadgets attached, the number plate, the switches.
Wow.
It was the one actually used in the movie.
Yes.
It's had two or three previous owners?
It's had a handful of previous owners, but this one was a bit buggered. And there are only a V8 few handful that actually work with the number plate switching, the nails that come out the back, the slick oil, the buttons on the center console, 30 caliber machine gun on the front.
Oh, yes. Actually, the machine gun works?
I don't know if the machine gun works,
but... I would love that. Imagine in Gauteng traffic.
So you've got the center panel with a bunch of switches.
Some guy cuts you off. Take you out, you son of a bitch.
So South African road rage. I don't think the DB5 should come here.
Yeah.
And then more seriously, the sale of illegal vehicles in South Africa is on the rise. So
illegal meaning they've been stolen.
Oh my God.
No. So so people want to import or grey import vehicles. Uh-huh. So it's vehicles that haven't been approved by the OEMs and the South African Revenue Services, and people import these vehicles and then they try and register them.
Yeah.
Using old scrapped vehicle registration numbers. So they switch
Okay, what's wrong with this? Like if I bring in a car that... What is a grey vehicle, first of all?
So it's a vehicle that wasn't imported under the legal system in South Africa.
Okay, so it's rules that
we're breaking. It's rules we break.
We're not doing anything dangerous.
100%.
But it's rules. It's so rules. Let's say I bring a vehicle in that they don't make here.
Yeah.
Or that the it's very difficult to get a license for. Maybe it's a left-hand drive or there's something else about it that's not normal. This happens all the time.
Well, in certain instances, you can import, but there's import taxes that people try to avoid.
So it's the government wanting their money.
Well, in some cases, yes.
In that case, I'm all for it.
Well, it's on the rise. So, but the problem, that's not the topic of conversation, though, whether it's right or wrong. It's the fact that these vehicles are never owned by you. And what the government is doing is when they find it in a roadblock, they're confiscating it and crushing it.
Oh, my God, no!
Basically stepping on it.
That's terrible. They can't do that.
Well, apparently they are. So whether they can or can't, I don't know. In the last year or so, the SARS has confiscated vehicles to the value of 4 million rand as part of this clampdown.
Only 4 million rand? Okay, they've really confiscated some shit there. I mean, yes. You know, if you're going to import some kind of grey vehicle, it better be like Batman's car. And if that's only worth 4 million rand, well, you can keep it, SARS, you dummies.
And then the funniest story of all is a drunk man in Poland.
Thank God it's a man. Well, I just looked immediately at Leanne.
I was just going to say, isn't that all of Poland?
In the Polish town of Pajedzno.
Oh, that's where Ben's family are from. Yeah.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Okay. He was working for the military, decided to get drunk, or whether he did it by mistake, I don't know.
Yeah.
And his boss said to him, please move this tank from there to there, and decided to take a joyride through the town.
Beautiful. Drunk guy in a tank.
That's fantastic. Didn't cause any damage, but has been arrested and now faces about 8 years in prison.
Didn't cause damage? You're telling me that a tank's tracks don't break a tar road?
Well, I mean damage to people or property besides the road.
Well, good for him. You see, drunk people can drive. Ha!
Do you think that was worth 8 years in jail?
Probably not. So he's in custody at the moment. And
Alison Fawn of All For Drunk Driving, they reckon that's a great way to harvest organs. They're the only two people who are pro-drunk driving.
In a tank so your body's safe.
Yeah.
So how he got caught wasn't because the police pulled him over, but because he got so paralytically drunk that he was found near the tank.
Oh gosh!
But he managed to drive it. Yeah. He's never driven a tank before.
No. He's a military person. Oh. So he's a tank driver. Oh, wow. So he knows how to drive a tank. But he was found near the tank.
That's amazing.
Drunk out of his mind.
You can do. The human body is capable of amazing things. You can be drunk out of your mind and still drive a tank.
Sure.
And not drive over anyone.
It's definitely on my bucket list now.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, I would love to see you in a tank driving around Joburg. Let's go and find out where we can get one.
Yeah.
All right. Very good.
That's it.
Thank you, everybody. It's been loads of fun. Have an excellent weekend, blah, blah, blah. And we will see you on Monday at 6 o'clock. All right? Be good. Isn't that exciting, Sia? You ready to go? Sia's ready to go. He's bored with us. He's had enough.
He's going to go find the surgeon.
Yeah, Sia's going to Facebook stalk a surgeon. That's his whole rap today. Thank you very much to Alice and to Fawn for coming in.
This is CliffCentral.com.